Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How do our crops look? What's the market like? Will we have enough corn? And what's happening with the cattle market? Let's go in depth with John Jensen and Leslie Miller, ag bankers at Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. Well, Leslie and John, the corn started coming in, and before we know it, the soybeans will be also coming out of the fields. What are farmers talking about?
I think there has been a few batches of the shorter season corn, the 90-day corn that's rolled into the elevators. I know one elevator was telling me they had some corn as low as 22% that they'd gotten about a week ago.
And 22%
moisture.
And then, is that good or bad?
That's good for this time of year.
Okay.
It's drying down. I know one person I talked to was combining corn that was anywhere from 21% to 24%. So it's time for them to get started. I think after they get done with the shorter season corn, they'd like to be moving into the beans. But I know one of the forecasts I looked at yesterday made it sound like we'd have rain 6 out of the next 7 days. And I think about everybody's getting ready to do a little bit of combining next week, and that might not be the case if we do get that much rain next week.
It'll slow us down. We're doing this interview on Friday, and so that rain will be coming through Monday when this will air, and throughout the rest of the week, it sounds like. So that will could slow people down. Depends on how much we have.
Correct, Bob. Yes, and even it's early yet, so it will slow people down anyway because they'll let it dry a little better before they get started. If we were deep in harvest and it looked like it was going to be big time rainy, people would push the envelope on getting crop out. But it's still early. We're still getting the combine set.
Well, I was talking to a farmer the other day, and he said that his corn was uneven, wasn't real predictable. Is that common, or what's the range?
I think people can just recall as they drove around over the summer and saw corn that went anywhere from yellow and brown to a deep green that, yeah, the crop is uneven this year. I know that some of the crop insurance adjusters have reported when they do check strips on the silage, a lot of times when people cut corn for silage, they'll leave a strip for the crop insurance adjuster to take a look at and give a yield projection on that field of corn. And I've heard anywhere from 60 to 180 as far as yields on silage corn that was done earlier.
60 to 180 bushels.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, it is pretty variable.
Okay, and the normal for Marion County is what, 150, I'm just guessing?
10-year average, Bob, is 155 bushel. But that, understand, that could take, will make my numbers easy. If it were 150 bushel, if you have one field at zero and one at 300, the average is 150. So the range, what I'm trying to say is the range is greater than that. We have a lot of corn in the county that in normal years is a lot better than 150 bushel, but that's the average.
Prices are still good, aren't they, for both corn and beans?
Yeah, we're over the $6 mark, $6.50 even on some of the local markets. And so you look at that, and even though we have a reduced yield on our corn, I think we'll still be better off income-wise than what we were a year ago. A year ago we had 113 bushel corn, and we had a dollar less on the markets, by the time we were going through harvest. So that's, I think the farmers are going to do better than that on the average. So that's encouraging. I also remember, though, that we did have a much better soybean crop last year than what we are thinking we're going to have this year. And beans are a lot harder to guess what their yields are going to be. Nobody's got that down to a science yet like they do on the corn. And so we really don't know on the soybeans. We'll just have to wait and see on them. But I don't think they're going to be quite as good as they were a year ago.
General expectations on the soybeans, to broaden that a bit, is that we've seen disease problems, beans dying in the field. Of course, the weather's the big topic this year. Everything's added together, Bob, to make the potential for a very good yield not there.
So not a great year for soybeans, you think?
Not the greatest.
Okay.
It's going to be, I think, probably just a good average year.
Okay, but there are worse things than average.
That's correct.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the incoming crops with John Jensen and Leslie Miller with Iowa State Savings Bank.
A lot of Iowa's getting hit by a drought, isn't it?
Right. And in fact, well, Bob, as I'm sitting here visiting with you, I'm looking at a drought monitor map that now shows a great share of the central part of Iowa from northwest corner of the state to the southeast corner of the state is in either abnormally dry conditions or severe drought conditions. And that's manifested particularly in southeast Iowa by the conditions basically like from Ottumwa south and east, where they've been hit very hard by a lack of rain, and the crops do not look good down there at all. In fact, as I've told some people, I was driving southeast here 2-3 weeks ago, get down east of Ottumwa, down toward the Fairfield area, and when you're driving along on that new road down there at 60 mile an hour and you can't see ears of corn on the field from the road, you know it's not good.
Wow. Well, I think we're sort of used to southwestern Iowa having a little bit of trouble with drought, but not southeast.
Southwest Iowa is the muddy area this year. The rains have come through in Nebraska, kind of skirted off into Missouri, and kind of the area from Atlantic to Creston and southwest has, in some cases, at some times, had way too much rain in their rainfall events. They've had more problems with flooding, with fields way too wet, and all year long, not only just through the planting time, but even as the crop's been, we've had ear set and the crop's growing, the ears and that, it's still too wet down southwest. But they've had a couple issues that we fortunately haven't had here. One, of course, if you're out in extreme western Iowa, the Missouri River took a lot of corn on the river bottom. And then there was an extremely heavy hailstorm, I think in the last part of August, that kind of went from, it started in Nebraska, but it skirted southeast from Council Bluffs on a southeasterly direction down into Missouri. And as the farmers like to say, the white combine got the crop in that area.
The white combine.
Hail.
That's great. Wow. Okay. Well, and looking at this map that you've got out here of the drought, I've been hearing a lot about what's happening in Texas. And you've got this map of the United States, and people should just imagine a big red drought mark stretching all the way from New Mexico and Arizona up through all of Texas into Louisiana going up to Missouri. There's a big drought, and then it continues over into Georgia. That's a big drought area.
Yeah, we've had customers picking up some cattle coming out of Kansas and Oklahoma, and you've got to be really careful when you buy cattle coming from droughty areas. Make sure that they haven't been starved and that people have gotten rid of them before they get to that point and that they're in good condition. But there's cattle coming from that area. We hear a lot about Texas. Right now the experts are telling us that at least 10,000 cows have been moved out of the state of Texas, either sent to the packing house or moved to someplace else where there is grass. And so we've heard about that. Now the experts are saying it could take up to 2 years for pasture conditions in Texas to return to normal. And if you talk to people down in Texas, what they say, what we really need is a couple good hurricanes to come through there just to get the moisture back. They are incredibly dry. August was the hottest August ever in the state of Texas, and they're really burning up. And that has a big impact. If that, with the cattle getting slaughtered like it is, we already had record low cow numbers going into this year, and we're going to reduce that number again. The consumers at the grocery store have not felt the pain of high beef prices as much as they could have because people have been killing cows. They can't feed them, so they send them to the packing house and they get ground into ground beef. So that's helped us a little bit as far as this beef price is concerned. But that will not continue. At some point in time, they'll stop killing those cows and we'll have less beef. Plus, next year, we'll have fewer calves that are produced and have even less beef at that time. It's going to be like the old Wendy's commercial where people say, where's the beef? You know, it's we're going to be asking that at some point in time, and we'll have some incredibly high meat prices.
You've told me before, both of you have told me before, that when we see beef prices going down, and that might be good for our pocketbooks now, but it bodes a change in the future. People are getting rid of their beef because of some kind of a problem.
Frequently, that's the case, yes.
And that's what we're going to see here.
What we're going to see here right now, or what we've seen, is the cattle that they're getting rid of have kept the markets from going up. They've kept the price at the grocery store from getting as high as it might have otherwise. So we're kind of right in the middle of the trend where prices are starting to go up, and because they've been killing more cows than they normally do, that means we've actually had a little more beef available for people to eat than what we would have had otherwise. So we've had a little bit of easing on beef prices. But that influence will go away, and then we'll see beef prices start to climb. I always say that people can't afford high beef prices and $4 gas. They wind up choosing between one and the other. And, again, we could be looking at that. We could be looking at people having to walk by the higher price cuts of beef because they're paying way too much for gas. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I am concerned about the beef supply coming to the retail outlets over the next 12 months.
And Bob, it's even more than 12 months, because the first impact is over the next 12 months. The second impact, and to go back to something Leslie said a minute ago, that takes 2 years to grow grass in Texas after it starts raining. It's got to start raining down there first, and then it's 2 years. And it's only after that starts that the Texans will increase their herd. But the whole nation is retracting in cow numbers. And what we're talking about here on probably extended high beef prices in the grocery store is the fact that we first of all have to hold more cows back to breed, turn them into cows, have them have calves that can go to the feedlot. We're talking 2 to 3 to 4 years of impact from this situation, if we're lucky.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the incoming crops with John Jensen and Leslie Miller with Iowa State Savings Bank.
How is this impacting the Marion County cattlemen?
Marion County cattlemen, I've talked with several of them here lately that are concerned because their grass. I mean, we need the rain. The rain over the next 6 days is probably a good thing from the cattleman standpoint, because we need something to bring a little more grass on this fall. But they're feeling pretty good because of the fact that prices are pretty high. The sale that they had out at the sale barn here this last Friday, good prices for calves. You know, you had 5-weight calves that went anywhere from 150 to 170 per hundred. And so it was, you know, it was a good sale. And that's good. That puts money in our cow-calf producers' pockets. And that's great. The downside is the people that want to feed those cattle, because of the dry weather in Iowa and the potential for a reduced corn crop, they're really concerned about what corn prices are going to do. And so we maybe aren't seeing the calf prices as high as they could be if there were lower corn prices. I know the day before, there was a lot of news coming off the Hill. Lots of the producer groups, like the milk producers, the cattlemen, the pork producers, they were all testifying in Washington on some of the farm bill policies and some of their concerns on feed prices. And across the board, they were asking for some kind of change in the renewable fuel standards, because they just felt like we do not have enough corn to feed our ethanol appetite as well as our livestock appetite, and they're concerned about bankrupting more livestock producers because of that.
Well, how would it, okay, I understand. It would bankrupt livestock producers because they don't have enough corn to feed their cattle, or the corn is priced so high, rather. That's
correct.
What it is.
Correct. The feeding margins, if you sell a calf, and we've got mostly cow-calf producers here, so we do well they do not consume as much corn as when you take a calf to a finished steer. That's where all the corn consumption is. And right now, that feeding margin, with some of the projections that they have out there for corn prices, is not, it's not profitable. So when that starts happening, or when the feeders fear that, they won't bid as much for the calves. That will be the result of impact on our cow-calf producers. Hasn't happened yet. Prices are pretty good, but everybody's concerned about that. The dairymen that we have in the state of Iowa and all over are very concerned about high feed prices. Milk has risen from what it was a couple years ago, but if we have $7 and $8 corn, it's still not profitable for those dairymen. Pork producers are facing the same thing. Hog prices have come back about halfway from where they fell here over the last few weeks. But again, that really high corn price does not work for livestock feeders. It doesn't work for consumers, because you will have less meat and milk in the grocery store. And even though we're feeding the ethanol appetite, it really doesn't work that well for the ethanol production either. It really keeps that price up as well. It keeps the price of ethanol product up to the gasoline blenders, and so we don't get the full benefit of ethanol like we might if we had a more abundant corn crop.
This is all so complex. Everything is so interrelated. What has an upside, has a downside for something else. How do you all keep track of it? How do the farmers keep track of all of this? And then we haven't even talked about oil yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself, Bob. You know, it works. I was sitting here as we've been visiting thinking, you know, we kind of sound a little bit gloom and doom today, but we've got some positives going on. It isn't all bad, and somehow or other we always seem to work through it. We can't see the future. We can't imagine the future. We have to, as lenders and our customers, as farmers, we have to manage as best we can. We don't always hit home runs, but things work. So it's tough. It's going to get tougher at times. It's also going to get better at times. You know, I think the producers in Marion County are going to make some money this year, by and large. And I was sitting here thinking about this a little while ago. You know, in the best years that I have seen in Marion County, there are some people that lost money. In the worst years that I've seen in Marion County, and let me name a date, say 1986 or 7, there were producers in Marion County that made a lot of money. Most of the farmers fall in between that. They make some money. So with all this going on, you know, our farmer producers are just like ourselves. Get all this input. We get it faster anymore because of computers and internet and stuff like that. But you take and you assimilate all that data. You basically still go out and operate your farm in the best possible manner that you know how to. And people make money doing it. Sometimes they make more than others, but they survive.
Thanks to John Jensen and Leslie Miller for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.